Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the LifeWired podcast. Thank you guys for joining us on this Sunday, October 1st. Today's episode is all about cardio, resistance training, and their impact on fat loss. You know, this is a topic that Chris and I have really researched extensively, you know, over our years as coaches. You know, this is a common debate. You have people all over the internet arguing, hey, we should just do resistance training, you know, screw the cardio. And then you've got, you know, people on the other end of the spectrum doing, you know, loads of cardio and arguing against, you know, the resistance training. And so, you know, we're here to really help you guys find that middle ground and explain the different reasons of, you know, why you should focus on both really at the same time and when to focus on one or the other in special scenarios. And so it really does come down to the topic of individuality at the end of the day, like most things in health and fitness. But before we begin, this episode is brought to you by Nash Nutrition. The Nash bar is made with simple and nourishing ingredients, 20 grams of protein, and is naturally sweetened with honey and dates. And what a lot of people don't realize is that most of the so-called healthy protein bars that you find on the market are in fact heavily processed with fillers and unnatural ingredients. And we know that if we consume too much of this processed food too often, it can eventually lead to long-term health issues. So this is why we love the Nash bars. We never even have to think twice about the ingredients, and they truly are the good for you protein bar. So make sure you guys set your reminders for October 5th, which is the next release at 6 p.m. Get your hands on those bars, because they go fast, and they'll even go fast after you get them, considering ours are literally almost gone since our last podcast episode. So make sure you guys check the show notes for the link to their website after today's episode. But on to episode 105, optimize your training for fat loss, resistance training, cardio, or both. So kind of like I said in the intro, guys, this is not a black and white topic. I think that's the biggest thing we want to get across to you guys right off the bat, is that there's really no one size fits all. And I think that we just, as a fitness industry, do everyone a disservice by trying to make these things black and white. You know, I swear every time I open up my Snapchat and see, like, you know, a little ad for Men's Health magazine, it's always like with some polarizing headline of, hey, you need to do this one very specific thing, or, you know, try this person's routine for X. And I'm telling you guys, after working with clients for years, both Christina and I have seen the importance of individuality and how everyone is truly different. Everyone's approach to their health and fitness is going to look a little bit different based off of lifestyle, stress levels, circumstances, you know, goals. There's so many things that we need to consider for the individual as it relates to what is quote unquote, you know, optimal. And so I really think it's just so important to see this bigger picture, and you guys are going to understand as we talk through these concepts really why both of these forms of exercise really should play a role in what we would argue most people's routine. You know, while there are those individual kind of nuances to factor in, I think that finding the balance between these two things is very important for mostly everyone. You know, there's arguments that can be made on both ends of the spectrum with, you know, doing resistance training only or doing cardio only, you know, but the research is very compelling in favor of combining the two. And we've even seen it in clients, you know, we've even seen it in ourselves working through, you know, balancing both of these things. And we've both been in certain seasons of life where we let one dominate over the other. But the research is compelling and really shows that a resistance training does help with improving lean muscle mass, or, you know, the toned look per se that a lot of people like to throw around. You know, that's a term that, you know, we all hear all the time. And that resistance training is really what's going to help you stimulate, you know, muscle growth, muscle tissue, and give you that, you know, lean muscular look. While, you know, on the other side, you know, the research is compelling in showing that, you know, cardio, especially in relation to more aerobic based cardio, can help with fat loss. And so, you know, when we marry these two things, we can get the best of both worlds. And we're going to kind of talk throughout the episode about, you know, how you guys can marry these two things and special scenarios where, you know, it might be more beneficial for an individual to maybe focus more on resistance training versus cardio, for example.
Yeah, and before we dive into kind of breaking down both, I do want to talk about the non-aesthetic benefits of cardio. Coming from a cardiac rehab background, it's really important to understand, like, obviously how we handle our habits and our health at this age may not feel like it. Like, we feel like when we're in our 60s and 70s is so far off, but our habits now build our health down the line. And when you weave in cardio, there's obviously a lot of benefits in terms of body composition and fat loss. But when it goes beyond aesthetics, some things you can, you know, get from cardio include getting your blood pumping, lowering your blood pressure, strengthening your immune system, improving your sleep, supporting your mental health. I know for me, like after a run, like the runner's high is very real. Like you get a boost of endorphins, helps you, like I know after I run or like do my workout in the morning with some cardio and strength training, and I go into my work, I'm so much more energetic and focused and just clear mentally and physically. It also regulates your blood sugar, which is extremely important when it comes to fat loss. If you're on a blood sugar roller coaster when it comes to your nutrition and like spiking your glucose with carbohydrates, it essentially turns off your fat loss if you're not careful of like balancing carbohydrates with protein and fat and having fiber. We obviously talk a lot about this in the nutrition episodes, but also cardio can help improve your blood sugar balance as well. And it also contributes to a healthy weight. And like I said, gives your brain a boost. So obviously weaving in cardio has a lot of mental and physical benefits, and kind of how we weave things in now. Like I said, we've been both subscribed to that like black or white mentality in the past. And I think a lot of trainers are still kind of struggling with that fine balance of what makes sense. But the truth of the matter is it's completely individual to each client and what's realistic and sustainable with their schedule, what their goals are, also what their history is. If someone comes to me with a very solid amount of lean muscle mass, yeah, we can weave in cardio right away. But a lot of women want that toned look, but we need to build the lean muscle mass first, especially if you're on the petite side. Like our BMR and our TDE is already very low. So increasing just steps, resistance training, and protein intake can do a hell of a lot for your body composition before saying like, we got to do 30 minutes to 60 minutes of cardio. Like when I used to compete, I was doing an hour of cardio, an hour of resistance training, and my nutrition was obviously pretty low too. And that obviously caused some ramifications for my internal health, which we'll get to later on in the episode. But you just gotta be careful of that fine balance of like what makes sense given your, you know, your training history, your amount of lean muscle mass, your goals, and what's sustainable for you to stick to long term. So basically what I do for most women is, we'll talk about stress later in the episode too, but based on stress levels, based on history, based on your goals, we'll work on resistance training most of the time. So 4 days per week of resistance training is a good sweet spot for most women. Then we have those active rest days, and Zach and I talk about this all the time. We'll weave in running, we'll weave in walks, we'll weave in, you know, lots of things on those active rest days. It's completely up to you. I'll do a spin class, and that's when I weave in that like aerobic training. And then that's a fine balance of like, I'm working on building my lean muscle mass, my nutrition supports that. Then I weave in aerobic, and on the days where my schedule is crammed, I just focus on getting steps in like walk and go. So it's a good balance, and everyone's balance looks very different. But that's why for us, we can't even say black and white, you know, protocols, because it's extremely individual.
Yeah, exactly. And I like that you talked about like having that foundation of muscle tissue when you're considering what to prescribe for a specific client. And like, I think a lot of the men, like I think of a lot of the men that I have coached and that I currently coach, and just like at a little bit of a broader perspective, you know, some of the men, for example, who are leaner guys, you know, they tend to, you know, have a high resting metabolic rate, you know, they're already burning a lot of calories at rest, and they actually struggle to eat enough or consume enough and lift hard enough, for example, to stimulate muscle growth. So like, that's an individual where, you know, they may not necessarily need a high level of cardiovascular training, as it relates to caloric expenditure. You know, they're already expelling a high amount of caloric output, energy output, just resting or just like doing their basic movement throughout the day. So guys kind of that fall under that umbrella might do better, you know, with more resistance training, you know, more caloric input, versus, you know, kind of the opposite. And that's really where I kind of see both ends of the spectrum with the men I coach, because then you have guys on the other side who are trying to lose the weight or lose body fat. And then that's where, you know, for example, we want to try to balance these two things so that we can still stimulate the muscle tissue while also creating a higher level of caloric expenditure through the cardiovascular training.
Yeah. And something I wanted to touch on too, while we're talking about like whether it's hard to gain or hard to lose and based on your goals, I also want to break down just the simple fact of like a calorie deficit is calories in versus calories out. If you are consuming less than you're burning, you're going to lose weight. If you are consuming more than you're burning, that's where you're going to gain. And that's where Zach's talking about, like some individuals need to gain muscle mass versus the flip side of losing fat and weight. So something I did want to talk about too is when you create a calorie deficit, it comes from lowering your calories and increasing your movement. So this is when cardio really comes into play, where I'll see with clients, like if they have a very like social life, like pulling down calories. Like for me, I'd rather move more than pull my calories down. So you're doing both, but you can also be strategic. Like for me, I'd rather have some more balance like to work with when we go out to dinners on the weekends, or like this upcoming month, we have something every single weekend. And it's important to understand like, okay, what's realistic? Would I rather weave in some additional movement on like those active rest days or pull down my calories? So I also kind of gauge with clients like, hey, you can be straight up with me. is pulling down calories more daunting than adding in a cardio session? And I like for it to be something they prefer too, because that's when you're going to stick to something, when it's what you enjoy. I used to think I had to pull my calories down so far and do no resistance training, and that made me miserable, because I actually like doing cardio. Like, I think it gives me time to watch, you know, stuff on YouTube. It also gives you that sweat. That's when I really tap into like, okay, I feel like I got a good workout. And it also gives me that brain boost I was talking about. But I used to like be so black and white where like, if I was in a reverse diet or maintenance, zero cardio, can't be burning extra calories. But if you're strategic about that fine balance and you understand like what you prefer and what your goals are, it really helps you to find that fine balance. And also, we do that for our clients. But if you're doing it on your own, something to think about too.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, at this point of the episode, we want to help you guys differentiate the different types of cardio, because I feel like a lot of other things in this realm of health and fitness and training, once again, kind of going back to the concept of this being black and white, I feel like many people view cardio or, you know, conditioning as black and white. You know, it's all kind of under the same umbrella, but there really are two very specific differentiations between the types of cardio that you guys will be doing in your training and just in your everyday life. And that really comes down to anaerobic versus aerobic. So when we think of anaerobic cardio or anaerobic conditioning, we are talking about like high heart rate conditioning. Like, think of high intensity interval training where, you know, you're tapping into pretty much 80 to 90 to 90 to 100% of your heart rate max. And then you guys probably have heard the, you know, term low intensity steady state cardio. This is more aerobic conditioning, which is going to be in the lower zones of your heart rate, basically like zone one, zone two, zone three. But, you know, I think it's also important to consider that this doesn't necessarily mean it has to be steady state. You can very much so do aerobic conditioning, aerobic cardio, such as, you know, interval circuits or stuff like that. You know, something that Christina and I really like to do on the treadmill, for example, is doing like walking and jogging intervals where you're keeping that max heart rate still low, but you're breaking up the steady state. Because I don't know about you guys, but for me, like, it's really hard for me to just do steady state cardio. I get bored so easily. I like doing more interval based cardio. So whether, and this is another important thing to consider, you can use a rower, you can use a ski, you can use a bike, you can use a treadmill, and you can do aerobic cardio on all of those machines. It's all about assessing where are you at in that heart rate. That's really what where the differentiation comes is, are we doing cardiovascular training that is tapping into very high heart rate or very low heart rate? And why this is so important to consider is because when we're doing the lower intensity cardio, not only is this still burning a lot of calories and a lot of energy, you know, when we're doing it, it also is helping us promote recovery, like Christina talked about on some of those active rest days. This is really why, you know, walking has become so very popular, why the 10K step measure is so very popular, is because not only are you burning energy and expelling calories and energy doing this type of movement, you're actually helping your body recover. And so we know when we're doing resistance training, for example, you know, we're putting stress on our body. Our body is going to have to recover. So say we're doing, you know, resistance training and we're doing, you know, high heart rate, like near maximal heart rate conditioning, it's going to be extremely difficult for our bodies to recover. So this is why it's important to consider, you know, how intense is the cardio, you know, that it is that we're doing. And so to kind of break this up, you know, when we think about like zone one, two, three, four, five, in relation to the types of cardio, you guys want to think about it like this. Basically, zone one is essentially like walking. Like you're basically at like 50 to 60% of your max heart rate. It's very easy to sustain this. It's not going to disrupt recovery. It's not going to put a whole lot of stress on your body. Then if you kick it up a notch, zone two, you know, which a lot of people talk about as, you know, the fat burning zone, is that 60 to 70% of your max heart rate. Zone three is about 70 to 80% of your heart rate max. So obviously the higher we get in relation to our max heart rate, the harder it's going to be for our body to recover. But that being said, your body still can recover very quickly from, for example, like zone two or zone three cardiovascular training. So this is why, you know, you have a lot of people arguing the effectiveness of low intensity cardio, because we know that resistance training is going to put stress on our body. We know we're going to have to recover from that resistance training. So by us doing the low intensity cardio, we're able to marry that with our resistance training, increase that caloric and energy expenditure while also giving our body the opportunity to recover. Now, does that mean that you shouldn't do HIIT or you shouldn't do anything zone four, zone five? No, but we just have to be smart about how much are we doing and how often are we doing it? Because a lot of times people see that as kind of the gold standard for, you know, fitness, fat loss, and high level cardio, or basically like energy output, caloric output. But we have to be smart about how we're recovering, because like Christina said, and like we're going to talk about later, this can also add stress to the body. You know, the like I said in a couple minutes ago, you know, the higher the heart rate is, the harder it's going to be for our body to recover. So if we are going to incorporate, you know, high intensity interval training or anaerobic cardio, I typically like to prescribe this, you know, basically anywhere between 2 to 3 times per week, 3 being like the absolute max, because if you are pushing your heart rate this high, at this intense level, you really do need to allow your body to recover. So this is where, you know, an approach I really like to take with my clients with, like, for example, like a 4-day split. I like to do like the front end of the week as more strength and conditioning days, and then the back end of the week as more hypertrophy days. So this is my way of marrying, you know, the strength and conditioning, where we do have, you know, the high intensity interval, more anaerobic training on those 2 strength and conditioning days. And then on the back end of the week, you know, doing solely just the resistance training in the higher volume rep ranges to stimulate continued muscle hypertrophy, muscle damage, and muscle growth. And so that's like the perfect way I personally like to marry it. Also, if say we even extend to like a 5-day, I'll use that Wednesday as more of an aerobic day, which will actually help promote recovery and keep that high level of caloric expenditure or energy expenditure. So this is, you know, I know I kind of went into a lot of the specifics there, but I do think that it is very, very important to differentiate the aerobic versus anaerobic conditioning, because I think a lot of people, you know, we see a lot of like the workout class style, you know, gyms or things like that, and that tends to like dominate, and that can actually really hinder our recovery process if we're doing that, say, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a week of high intensity interval training. Again, it is not bad. Neither one is quote unquote like bad. You just have to understand, what are you getting from each individual one? How does that play into your body's ability to recover? And how does that play into basically the caloric expenditure when you're doing it?
And a good thing I'm glad you brought that up about workout classes too, because that's something I see a lot with women, is that we're under eating and doing workout classes like 5 or 6 days a week. And not only is that adding like a huge amount of stress to your body, but it's not factoring in like healthy hormones, which will then really hinder your fat loss. And we're not getting that like quote toned look, because you are burning any muscle mass that you currently have, because you're constantly doing high intensity interval training or like running. And if your body isn't fueled properly, it's going to pull from your muscle mass. And if you already don't have a lot of muscle mass, now you're burning less calories at rest because you have less muscle on your frame. But also it's going to just create a vicious cycle of like, there's not a lot of progressive overload, which means you're not adding any more lean muscle mass. You're pulling from the lean muscle mass you have. So it creates that like softer look. And while your weight may be lower, I would personally rather weigh a couple pounds more and have more lean muscle mass and have less body fat. Like, there is a difference between weight loss and fat loss. And it's important to consider like the things we talk about. We have a lot of episodes on progressive overload and, you know, structuring your training program when it comes to resistance training. But that's just something I see as like kind of the perfect storm for women to see progress at first. Then your body stops responding. You hit a quote plateau because your body is now burning the muscle mass you have. And it's too high intensity training to properly recover. Your body's in a stress state, throws off your hormones, you're under eating because you want to see more progress. And then you hit a wall and you're like, what the hell do I do from here? But before we go into like different types of cardio and things like that, I do want to go over that equation to find your heart rate max. Because we talked a lot about those zones and how to find like the percentages you want to aim for in each zone. And I'm going to talk about the sweet spot of zone 2. Right now I'm training for my 10K, and I feel like this zone 2 has like really changed my body composition in a positive way. And for me, I'm going to use myself as this equation to find your heart rate max. It's 220 minus your age. So for me, it's 220 minus 29. And then you take that number and multiply it by the percentage you're aiming for. So for me, I'm aiming for 60 to 70% of my heart rate max to stay in zone 2. So 220 minus my age times 0.6 is 114. That's the low end of my zone 2. Then I take 220 minus my age, multiply it by 0.7. That's 133. So I try to stay below 130, but above 114. I typically am in that range of like 120. And this has been a very humbling experience for me, because I'm going through a healing journey for my adrenals. And maybe we can do a hormone episode later on, but we'll talk about it later in the episode on stress on your body. My adrenals and my cortisol, completely out of whack. So like high intensity training is the last thing I need to be doing right now, but I've committed to this 10K and I'm like, how can I balance my resistance training, balance my hormones, and also train in this zone two range, and it feels really good for me. Like, it doesn't feel taxing on my body to stay at like 120, but I have to watch my caffeine intake, especially on my running days, because I check my heart rate throughout my entire run. Now I used to just run and go at a high speed and like feel like it was burning me out, because it was. My adrenals are not pumping anything into my, I have no cortisol being made by my adrenals, so my body's energetically like at its all-time low, and that high intensity running was actually working against my body. So it caused inflammation, caused a stress state for my body, which is not what we need for fat loss. So I now stay at that 120 range, which means I had to really pull back. I was running at like 6 miles per hour, and I'm 5'3 on the treadmill. That's like pretty fast for me. That's a 10-minute mile. I'm not saying I'm a good runner by any means, but I'm going to do this 10K and I'm going to finish regardless of what my time is. This is my baseline, but I've had to pull back, and now I'm running at like a 4.5 to make sure my form is on point, to make sure my heart rate stays in that zone. If I go up to a 5, my heart rate jumps up above that zone 2 range, which means I can't hold it for very long. And if I'm running for 6 miles, I have to be able to sustain that pace and also sustain that heart rate to stay in zone 2. So it's a fine line of monitoring your speed to stay within that range, but you don't even know what that range is if you don't understand that equation of 220 minus your age multiplied by that percentage. So now to go on a couple of different types of cardio. Anaerobic, like Zach said, is intervals. So I'm going to give a couple of examples of that. You can do sprints on the treadmill. That's very different than that aerobic interval Zach was talking about, where we're running at a lower pace and then walking. Like jogging and walking is very different than zero running. Like I used to hop on the sides of the treadmill and then sprint at 10 miles per hour, jump on the side of the treadmill, sprint at 10 miles per hour. And my body was stressed as hell.
Yeah. And I think it's honestly, if you guys, aside even from the calculation, like a great way to just kind of be intuitive about this approach. I kind of explain this to my clients as well. Like when you're doing these form, the aerobic format versus the anaerobic format, like you'll be able to tell, like when you are basically like in that state where like you are like huffing and puffing for air, you know, you're really trying your heart, like you're trying their hardest to recover, like you're breathing really heavy, you know, heart rate is spiking, you can pretty much tell that that's anaerobic. And then when you're doing like aerobic conditioning, like you're doing, for example, the bike, the row, the treadmill, whether it's interval or not, you're going to be able to feel like you could just keep going. Like you should be able to feel like, you know, your heart rate isn't that much, like it's not that high, it's not that elevated. You know, you feel like you could sustain what you're doing for a long duration of time beyond, you know, what you were just doing, for example, during like the work versus the rest interval. Or if you were steady state, you know, you basically would feel like, okay, I could sustain this pretty much like forever, like for a long time, essentially.
And another way to intuitively do it too, we used to do this in my exercise phys classes. We'd be on the treadmill and I was always the volunteer for these because nobody wanted to do it in front of the class. But you'd be running and like testing your VO2 max and things like that. And the high intensity interval like gauge was like you basically like have to recover. Like your body needs that time. You're huffing and puffing. You're getting your heart rate back down to baseline before you do another round. But for the aerobic, like low intensity steady state kind of feel, you can hold a conversation. So you can sustain that for a long period of time, but you can also like have some conversation. Like you're not huffing and puffing so much where like if someone tried to talk to you and ask you what time it is on the treadmill, that you'd fly off the back and you couldn't even speak, you know? So there's a big difference between the two, not only heart rate wise, but just like sustainability. So that high intensity interval, like anaerobic training, is like sprints on the treadmill, bike, rower, stairs. And I also used to be so black and white about this too, where I thought like, HIIT just had to be sprinting. Like you had to be sprinting intervals on the treadmill. But obviously when Zach took over my training, it's like using things that I would never have done before, like the bike, the skier, the rower and things like that, just to switch it up and like, you know, play around with your training. But also circuits too, like doing a circuit where it's timed for multiple rounds is also a form of that anaerobic training. More of the aerobic would be like, let's say 30 minutes on the Stairmaster, staying in that heart rate zone. Incline walking, also no holding on to the machines when you're doing aerobic training. You're getting no heart rate benefit from it, and it's not incorporating any of your stabilizing muscles. If you're on the incline treadmill holding on the whole time, you're not stabilizing, like using any of your muscles in your legs, because you should feel sore after doing that. After I hop off the incline walk, sometimes like my legs feel tired, but if you're holding on, you're not really getting any of that benefit. You're just getting steps in. And then also doing things like you can switch it up and do a spin class, do Peloton. But I think that for a lot of people, we get married to one or the other, like you're doing Peloton spin classes or runs like every day of the week with no resistance training. So once again, weaving in a fine balance, and we'll talk about what that looks like. But to determine like which is best for you, I think it has a lot to do with your not only stress levels, but also your schedule. Like if you don't have 30 to 45 minutes to do aerobic training, can you do more of the high intensity anaerobic training instead? Is your goal fat loss? Is your goal muscle growth? It's very different person to person. But the main thing that I see with women is your stress levels. If your stress is like a 3, 4, or 5 out of 5, high intensity interval training or anaerobic training is not the goal for us. Like, that's going to add stress to your body. And if we're trying to heal your hormones, if it's the week of your cycle, I'll talk more. I guess I could just talk about it right now. Most women are in a stress state. Like, I see like 5 out of 5 burnout in most women. And my goal is, how can we find that fat loss balance with training and cardio without adding more stress to your body? And it takes a lot of like lifestyle change. Like, we have to meditate, we have to get proper sleep. And it may be annoying for me to be like, hey, we're not going to add a cardio session in. We're going to get 7 hours of sleep. We're not going to incorporate sprints. We're going to actually meditate. And like, I promise you, you'll see more benefit from finding that fine balance. And I think it's very different between males and females. And that's why it's so good on this podcast. You get to hear both perspectives. When I pulled out doing like solely high intensity, like anaerobic training, and went to more low intensity, and now I'm healing my hormones, my body composition and my body is like truly thanking me. Like, my body composition is more optimized because I'm listening to my body's stress and I'm not accumulating even more stress.
Yeah. And I think that that's so important to consider, is just like the ramifications of the stress on the body and the different types, you know, of the conditioning or of the cardio that you're doing. And I even kind of gave this example earlier on, but, you know, typically, like, if you are, you know, someone who is a little bit more of a hard gainer, you know, it's difficult for you to put on that muscle tissue or put on that size. You know, I work with guys like this. I talked about that earlier in the episode. Like, we don't necessarily need to be doing, you know, a lot of extra cardio on top of the resistance training. But for, you know, the guys that I train who are looking to lose body fat, you know, basically like in the camp of body recomposition, like maintaining lean muscle mass, gaining lean muscle mass and fat loss, that's where I like to mix the two. And, you know, that's really how I like to sustain it, is where, you know, we're not doing, you know, more than mainly like 2 anaerobic sessions or just like pieces within a workout per week, because it's going to cause that recoverability to be more challenging for the individual. So, you know, when Chris kind of gave the example of like the low intensity steady state versus like the high intensity interval training, you know, when we're doing those different types of cardio and we want to do more interval based training, like if you're someone like me who does get bored with like the steady state, just make sure you're allowing yourself enough recoverability like between those intervals if you're trying to keep it lower on the lower intense side. You know, giving yourself, for example, like a 1 minute on, 1 minute off of a certain, you know, conditioning circuit, for example. But if it's like, you know, 30 on 30 off or 40 on 20 off, that's going to be pushing more into that high intensity interval training. And you can't really sustain the high intensity interval training for longer than like, I would say like 20 minutes max. Like, typically if I'm programming like a high intensity interval training circuit for clients or for myself, you know, this is going to be like very intense. You know, it should be at least, you know, we're hitting that higher heart rate. So, you know, this is going to be anywhere between, in my opinion, like 10 to 20 minutes, 20 minutes being like max. Like, typically a lot of these are like 10, 12, 15 minute circuits. And then, you know, for like the lower intensity, this could be like in that like 20 to 30, maybe even pushing into like the 40 minute mark, where you're giving yourself more recoverability throughout. Your heart rate is, you're keeping that heart rate on the lower end. So that's just a great way that you can kind of differentiate the two and still make it kind of fun and exciting. Like, I honestly feel like when I do more of like the intervals, it just keeps things exciting. Like, I'm not getting bored. You know, my mind is constantly like kind of on the task at hand. It helps me kind of just like zone out, get into that flow state. That's really why I like the intervals, but it is so important to really combine, you know, the resistance training with the cardiovascular training and then just balancing the intensity. Because like I said, you know, we are going to be getting, you know, a high level of, you know, basically stress on our body from the resistance training that we're doing. So I think marrying that with, you know, the conditioning in a way where it does still allow our bodies to recover while also seeing the benefit from the caloric expenditure, the energy expenditure, is really important.
Yeah. And I think something else I want to add when it comes to women is that a lot of women are now being diagnosed with PCOS. And I think that the number one thing for them when you are deciding between the two is you're choosing the aerobic low intensity steady state always. Like, one of the worst things you can do is for your hormones, do high intensity interval training or anaerobic if you do have PCOS. So that's something to consider. If you're a group class girly and your hormones are out of whack or you have PCOS, it's very important to understand like what makes sense for your body individually and also what makes sense like in your lifestyle as a whole. I have a lot of women too who work like very active jobs where they're getting 12 to 15,000 steps a day without even doing cardio. So it's like, okay, you really don't need to add cardio into your training.
Yeah, I think that's something like really important to consider. Like if you are, and that's something I kind of left out in that last point, is like if you are getting like a ton of steps, and like Christina said, between that 12 to 15,000, like that is a lot of activity, and that is a perfect pairing, you know, with the resistance training. So if you are someone, you know, who has the time and who has the ability to get that movement in, we know realistically that some people are really constrained, you know, to literally like being sedentary without choice most of the day, you know, don't have a whole lot of time maybe with family or just circumstantial things with their lifestyle. Then yeah, like, you know, making the most of your time for 10, 15, 20 minutes doing high intensity interval training to get a high level of caloric expenditure in a short amount of time might make sense for that person. But again, that goes back to the individuality of the lifestyle. What does their lifestyle look like? What is sustainable? What can they stick to? What can they do consistently?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I'll go into like how we balance, like we can both go over like exactly our training splits and like how we balance cardio, resistance training, even recovery, like yoga or Pilates, things like that. But I want to give an example of what not to do, which was old me. I was actually on the treadmill the other day. Like I said, about 6,000 times of training for a 10K. So I'm spending a lot more time on the treadmill or running outside. And it brought me back to when I was in college. And this was actually my senior year of high school and my first year of college. I was mostly going to the gym, had a gym membership. I considered myself a gym girly, but I was going and running 3 miles on the treadmill, doing a little bit of a Pinterest workout, like grabbing some weights they had like literally a girls section in the gym at the rec center at Kent. And I would go in there and just like do some bicep curls, do some lateral raises. Never increasing weight, never having progressive overload. And this was before I switched to exercise science major and really learned a lot more about exercise and programming and things like that. But I was just running 3 miles, going in, stimulating no muscle, and I didn't have muscle, and I was running off any that I did have because I wasn't properly fueling my body with enough calories or eating enough protein. So I was doing everything wrong, but seemingly I'm like, wow, I'm really fit. And yes, I was maintaining my weight. Like it helped me to, I still gained weight freshman 15 a little bit because my nutrition habits were changing and I was under eating during the week, overeating on the weekends. It's a whole other topic. But what I'm getting at here is my body composition then, when I was mostly running, barely lifting, was just a lot softer. Like I didn't have muscle mass. I was just like, I didn't look very fit. And a lot of women, like that's like the starting point of them saying like, I want to be toned. I want to have muscle, but I also don't want to feel bulky. And that's what I thought would happen if I stopped running and resistance trained more. But then my first ever training program I followed on bodybuilding.com, it was Jamie Easton's program. It was a 12-week program and you did zero cardio. Like it literally said, do not get on the like zero cardio. You're going to resistance train 5 days a week, no cardio. And I was like, what's going to happen to me? Like I thought the world was ending. I'm like, I'm going to try something different. And it was really a big mindset shift for me to go from like being a cardio bunny to doing just lifting. And this is when that black and white mentality came into play. Cause I'm like, okay, this person who made this program is the expert. I can't do any cardio. And it was because I had no lean muscle mass. And this really shifted my body composition. Cause I actually trained with hypertrophy. I had progressive overload. I followed one program for 12 weeks versus hopping in there, picking a Pinterest workout, doing it for 15 minutes and getting out after I ran for 30 minutes before that. So this was that huge shift for me of understanding like, okay, there is a way we can marry this together. And at the end of that program, all the programs I did afterwards married them together. But this was really a program for women to understand like you can lift and not just be a cardio bunny. So I think this was in like 2012. Like this was that pivotal time where like a lot of women started to lift more. And I think it had to be that way for me to understand like, I can't rely on cardio. That's not just like how my fitness journey is going to play out the rest of my life. So now what I do is before I started doing this 10K training, 4 days of lifting, I was doing upper lower push and pull and then 2 lower body days. And then on my active rest days, which was Wednesdays and Saturdays, I would do like the Couch to 10K app. And this is where like Zach was talking about those intervals with aerobic training, really keep it exciting and also get your steps up. It gets your heart rate up. It gets you into zone 2 and it's sustainable because on the active rest day, all I was doing was just like focusing on recovery, getting in my steps, doing a little bit of cardio. And I really enjoyed that where it was like, it was 5 minutes of running, 5 minutes of walking, or it was like 3 minutes of running, 2 minutes of walking just to like recovery. And that makes 5 minute blocks and it goes by so much quicker. And then now I'm doing 3 days of lifting full body and then 3 days of running, 1 full rest day. And then once I'm done with training for my 10K, we like to weave in like yoga sessions, or I like to do now like reformer Pilates. So like finding that fine balance in a 7-day split that makes sense for your goals. Like right now, I'm happy with the amount of lean muscle mass I have. And my goal right now is to do this 10K. So I switched from 4 days of resistance training to three, but it's not going to be that way forever for me. And I do have some clients where that is the case. Like, that makes sense for their goals. It makes sense for their schedule. And it's something that's fun for them to maintain. But when you switch from 4 days to three with lifting, I think it really creates a difference in your recovery. Like, I miss the 4 days of resistance training because now I feel like my body is fatigued each day because I'm hitting every muscle group. So it's just a very fine balance of, like, you can go through seasons. Like, you don't have to be married to one split forever or one style of training forever. Like, we weave in all of them, and we are fitness coaches. Like, you would think we'd be the type of people to say, like, you're just doing resistance training, no cardio, no classes, nothing. But we're very flexible with ourselves and also with our clients. And that's where we can maintain this year round and forever. Like, we had the episode on how to sustain your fitness journey year round and forever. And this is the way that you do it. When you find something you can stick to, you don't stress your body out, you focus on recovery, and it's something that you, like, actually enjoy doing and your body responds to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's such a great point to know that we don't have to get married to one specific way of doing things. And like Christina described, our individual approaches for ourselves has changed over the years. You know, I think for a long time, I was in the same boat where I was kind of balancing, like, you know, do I do more of the high intensity interval training? Do I do more of the resistance training? How do I marry the two? What's effective between aerobic versus anaerobic? So I've been really trying to experiment with this and play with it even myself. And I really find that, you know, for me, I can definitely see myself someday implementing a 3-day split into my life if, like, shit really gets crazy, like, especially like when we have a family someday or something like that. I do think that the 3-day split does offer a lot of opportunity for recoverability. I personally love 4 days. Like, I have really fallen in love with that upper-lower split. You know, me being an athlete, we did a 4-day upper-lower split, just a little bit differently than what the way I do it now. But I really love, like I said in the beginning, to basically do like the heavier, and heavier is relative, like typically in the lower volume range of like 5 to 10 reps is typically what I'll do like on my strength days, you know, where I like to incorporate, like I said, the high intensity interval training on the front end of the week, you know, with the resistance training on Mondays and Tuesdays. And then on my like Thursday, Friday hypertrophy days, this is a little bit like lighter relative, you know, to my strength levels. And I do a little bit lighter load, but higher volume, basically like 6-8, and then all the way up on the top end up to like 20 reps. So anywhere between like 6 to 8, and then all the way up to like 20, depending on the exercise. You know, typically I'll go past like that 12 rep range. And I talked about this on my newsletter. And I think this is really important to talk about, but like, you know, when you start getting into those higher volume rep ranges, like really high, like 12 plus, it's really hard to keep the intensity there. Like, it's really easy to just start going like almost like too light that it's like, you're not even like stimulating growth or adaptation. And so like for those kind of exercises, like I'll use like isolation exercises, like bicep curl, lateral raise, tricep extension, stuff that's like single joint work. You can do like much higher volume because the intensity, it's easy to gauge the intensity. You're not moving through like multiple joints, for example. So that's kind of how I design my program. And then like on Wednesdays, I'll either do just steps, like a high amount of steps, or more like aerobic conditioning. Like I said, some like more aerobic based intervals with either like walking, jogging, or doing something with like the rower or the ski. And then on those Thursday, Fridays, pretty much steps only. So what's cool about this too is like, say even on those Mondays and Tuesdays, like say I can't get the high intensity interval training in, like say I'm like having to really condense my session and just do the resistance training or the lifting, then I'll just focus on steps. That's why like we really like to use steps as kind of like our pivot, where like if we can't get like a designed, you know, high intensity interval training circuit or just circuit in general, we can easily just kind of opt to like getting a high amount of steps in for that day. And then on the flip side, if we know it's going to be, you know, a busier day, say we're traveling, say we're going to be sitting on a plane a lot, like that's where we can then, you know, try to get a high level of energy or caloric output in a shorter amount of time through like a circuit, or maybe even through like some sprints or running intervals. So this is kind of how you can adapt your lifestyle to the training stimulus or to the type of training or conditioning cardio that you're going to be doing. So I really like that split. You know, my 4 days allows for me to hit that upper lower, really kind of hit all muscle groups, between like one day I like to do more quads, one day I like to do more posterior chain, one day is more shoulder and arms, the other day is chest and back. And I just make sure I'm getting enough total volume in those sessions to continue to create adaptation in my muscles, and then balance the cardio, like I said, kind of more circumstantially, where I'll try to get those high intensity interval training circuits in on Monday, Tuesday. If not, I opt to steps. Wednesday, focus on some aerobic movement or steps only, and then kind of the same thing Thursday, Friday, and through the weekend.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I always have to send you guys off with a quote of some kind that I probably will butcher, but I love that you said like you're flexible with those methods. But I think it's important to be like strict with your goals and your outcome, but flexible with your method. So like our goal remains the same, but we can go from like having a anaerobic or high intensity session to be like, okay, I'm short on time. We have a lot of calls. I'm going to just focus on steps today. And I kind of did that this week, just to give a real life example. I drove home Friday. I have like a lot of travel, like last weekend, this upcoming week, where if I have 6 days now of training where I'm lifting 3 days, running 3 days, there are going to be some weeks where I have to front load and be very strategic. And what I did this past week was, instead of doing my third run, I did actually a heart walk yesterday for one of my best friend's daughter. And it was a 3 mile walk and it was like inclined. My heart rate actually got up way higher than I expected. And I subbed one of my runs for that. I was still getting steps and I got like, even with driving in the car 4 hours yesterday, I got like almost 20,000 steps because I had that walk. And also, I know it's like TMI, but with the phase I'm at in my cycle, that's what I needed to do. And it worked out perfectly with travel. It worked out perfectly with my hormone cycle where I'm at right now. And I went easy on myself versus saying I have to like, with a condensed schedule, run myself into the ground, run 3 days, lift 3 days. Let's do them both in one day and do like basically doubles each day of the week so I can travel on the weekend. Like, be flexible. And I promise you, your body will thank you and you'll have much more balance, not only in the gym, but also outside the gym with your social life.
And I like that we're touching on like the flexibility, sustainability, because we see that time and time again with clients. Like everyone's weeks always turn into just like chaos. And like, we really do have to sometimes adapt. And that's really why I love the 3 to 4 day split, because, you know, we'll see it all the time. And I'll even have like new clients who join my program be like, dude, like today was crazy. I couldn't get my workout in. And they're on like a 3 day split. And I'm like, well, hey, you got 7 days. You pick. You know, while we want to have that routine, while we want to have that structure most of the time, these 3 and 4 day splits allow you to rearrange the week as necessary. So say you have to, you know, move all three of your workouts if you're on a 3 day split to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then because you have a crazy back end of the week, do it, you know, or if you have to push them all to the back end of the week, or if you have to, you know, break them up. Like, as long as we're getting those done by the time it hits Sunday, you know, we're going to be in good shape. We're going to create that progression, that consistency. So I think that that's just so important to understand. Cause as I was talking about that 4 day split, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, while those are like my ideal days and the days I try to stick to, nonetheless, you know, sometimes it has to be, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Sometimes it has to be Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday. You know, it kind of just depends on what life looks like during that week, during that season of life. So having that ability to pivot and still get the outcome we're looking for, I think is so underrated. And I like that we kind of talk through that too, Chris, about, you know, how we will pivot when it does get chaotic for us, where, you know, we kind of have that fallback plan of the steps, for example, like, you know, getting that zone one movement in. It will never hurt, guys. Like, it is literally going to help you, you know, really create, like I said, a high level of caloric output. And it's literally promoting recovery. So it's literally helping your body recover. You're getting blood flow throughout your whole body to help your muscles recover from the resistance training that you're doing. So honestly, in a lot of ideal situations, like, you know, marrying the resistance training and steps is like money. But then obviously, if you can kick it up into like that zone two, add in some running in there, it's only going to help you that much more.
Agreed. And just to give another example of how we are flexible with those methods is, like, if you have a busy work day or like a bunch of calls, same with me, like if we have a really hectic day and we're like, oh, I had a workout on the schedule today, I can rearrange my week and pivot and just do active rest today. We'll pull out our treadmill walking pads or just go on an extra walk at night. And that NEAT, which is the step zone one, is very underrated, but a lot of people get in that black and white or like, it becomes very mentally taxing to be like, oh my gosh, I missed a workout. We're really hard on ourselves. You feel like a failure. But if you're like, I can just do my lift tomorrow when I have a more open schedule, and today I'm just going to focus on steps, like, it doesn't mean you are a failure. Like,
no,
an active rest day and a rest day is necessary. You do not have to be training 6 days a week. I see that quite often in like applications or intake forms of like, how many days do you want to work out? And people are like 6 to 7 days. And I'm like, where's the recovery at? Because if you are tearing your muscle fibers down 6 to 7 days a week, and you're not recovering, you're going to get nowhere and you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be like, why is this not working for me? I don't like resistance training. Then you'll go the other end of the spectrum of now everyone's like Pilates and walking. And like, yes, that's a great way to recover and like do low intensity steady state, especially for a lot of women who have imbalanced hormones, but there is a way to marry them together. And we want to prevent you guys from going very black or white, because we have been there. We've seen people go there, and we spend our career morphing that into a balanced routine where you can have both. And that's the goal of today's episode. So we hope you guys enjoyed it. And if you guys could share this episode, tag me, tag Zach, tag Life Rewired, leave a review. It means the absolute world to us. We'll put all applications below, Nash links. And also, since we did talk about newsletters, Zach and I both send a newsletter out every single week with so much free value, and it's a lot of what you guys get in this podcast on cardio, recipes, training, nutrition, and I think it'd be a great place to, we'll tag it in, or we'll include these links in the show notes so you guys can both subscribe to mine and Zach's. You get a free resource for joining both. So I think it's a great way for you guys to just get even more LifeWired information and connect with Zach and I a little bit deeper. So I hope you guys have a beautiful week. Happy October 1st. It's a new month, clean slate, fresh start, set some goals, and listen back to these episodes. If you got sparked with, like I said, progressive overload, nutrition, how to stay fit year round, like we have 105 episodes of free resource that you guys can use to set your goals for this next month and end the year of 2023. It's like the last quarter. How crazy is that already? And we want you guys to end the last half of this year strong, so you're not on January 1st saying like, I'm going to start my fitness journey over. Like, you can start today and make it sustainable, so you're not starting over in the new year. Like, this is your opportunity to make it sustainable, and we're here to help. So we hope you guys enjoyed today's episode, and we will see you next week.
Peace out, guys.